Hello, this is Reverend Leslie speaking. Good to be with you for our recorded service. And of course, I haven't been recording any services or taking any services for the past few months because I dislocated my shoulder back in January, and that led to some complications. And then I had to have an operation in April. And anyway, I am now recovering well. I'm not fully recovered, but because I'm going to be retiring at the end of July, I thought I'd better get back and start doing some services again. Otherwise, I wouldn't get back at all. So here I am, and it's lovely to be with you. So we're going to have a short service of recording this morning, and I'm going to begin with a prayer. So Lord Jesus, be with us as we celebrate and worship you. We ask that you open our eyes and you open our ears to your word in this service. And we pray for all of those that are tuning in, for whatever reason are not able to maybe attend a church service, that enjoy being in the comfort of their own homes as they listen to your word. Lord, we pray that we may be insightful and be able to understand your calling for us as we worship you today. Amen. So the next thing we're going to have is a reading, and I'm going to read to you from a gospel reading from Matthew. And this is quite a long reading, and it is a quite complex reading as well, but we'll see where we go with it. And hopefully we'll be able to unpick it and discern it a little bit further in the service. So Matthew 10, starting to read from verse 24. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. And if the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? Do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim it from the rooftops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. However, and whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I think that the reading that we've just heard can leave us feeling a bit uncomfortable. Where is the gentle Jesus, the Jesus that preaches to us about gentleness and forgiveness and love? In this reading, Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but the sword." Where did the Jesus who preached love go? So what were these words meant to do? What were they meant to say? Well, I think that actually what's happening here is Jesus was preparing his disciples as they went out into the world to tell the good news. And of course, Jesus wasn't going to be around for much longer. Jesus expects them, despite opposition, to get the job actually done. Well, that's fair enough. He does want them to get the job done. Were the disciples being prepared to understand that spreading the word of Jesus would divide families, set members against each other? If they didn't before, they would by the time he'd finished telling them this bit of scripture. So I wonder, are families today, well, many families divided by different aspects of religion, where one believes something different to another? Is that a thing? Well, that's how it works in my family, actually. I'm the only member of my family that would actually call themselves a Christian. And in some families, this can cause heartbreak and division. And if I had insisted on making Bob, my husband, and Roy and Marion, my children, follow me in my Christian faith when I came to faith back, well, that was in the 1990s, it might have broken my marriage. But I came to understand that, yes, God called me, but he called me first to be Bob's wife and to be a mother. So who am I to try and make them follow me? Jesus is the one they must follow. And as we know, he is the way and the truth and the light. So it will be. So here's another thought. The gospel challenges traditions and social norms as well, doesn't it? And the upholders of these values may strike out against those who challenge the status quo. We each know the consequences of standing against a popularly held social value or norm. There are plenty of them to choose from. It could be standing on either side of issues like war and abortion, torture, reform, LGBTQ plus rights, capital punishment, assisted dying, or many other social and cultural concerns. We all have opinions, and we must test those opinions against the gospel. What does Jesus say? Is it not always easy to interpret? I don't know. It's easy to interpret the gospel to fit our own worldly beliefs. But is that just twisting the words that we read to fit what we want to believe? I've been hugely challenged over the past two decades, particularly around the question regarding where I should stand about sexuality and the LGBTQ community and the Christian faith, my Christian faith. Our own Church of England, as we know, is still divided upon this. However, I have made my choice, and I believe that Jesus never excludes anyone. I believe that we are all welcome. But his gospel, well, it does speak some truths. And reading reminds us that God challenges us to choose him above all others, just like it said in the scripture reading, even before our own family. He says, "Everyone, therefore, that acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. So surely it is not for us to judge others at all. Whoever we are, whatever our cultural beliefs. And as Paul says in the Galatians, in the letter to the Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ. Isn't this more about whether we put God first? Do we put Jesus before all others in our worldly beliefs? Would we die for our faith? That's what the disciples were being asked to do, and many did die for their faith. We live quite comfortably here in our lovely towns and villages in Gloucestershire, where nothing too often happens around us, or so we think. We are not persecuted for our faith, are we? Maybe some feel they are. We are not killed because we choose to be Christians. If we were put on the spot, would we actually deny our faith if it meant our families could stay in their own homes? That's the choice thousands of Christians have to make today across the world. And maybe when you are being persecuted, it's verses like this that we have heard, spoken by Jesus, that make faith stronger. Knowing that God knows each of us, knowing that even the hairs on our head are counted because we are so special to God. And when we live quietly with our faith, we not only sometimes forget there are others having to fight for their faith. They have to take up their sword if they wish to still say proudly that Jesus is the name above all names. I can remember listening to John Santamu. Do you remember him? He was an Archbishop of York. Many years ago, this was at a clergy conference that John May sent me off to do when he was trying to convince me to train towards priesthood. John Santamu told us a story about his own time of persecution. Not elsewhere, that was actually in this country. He was working in Birmingham. Not only was his church being set upon by thieves and all sorts of nastiness is happening, but his home too. And he'd come to his wit's end, had to leave for a while because it all became too much for him. But where he stayed gave him an amazing view of his home church, because Birmingham sits in like a bowl and his church was in the centre somewhere, or just on the other side, and he was sort of up on the hill. And he was looking down one night, looking towards his church and praying, and there he could see angels surrounding his home, and he knew all was going to be well. I too remember having difficult times when I was working at Eastwood Park Prison, and I had been assaulted by a prisoner. And every time I walked into the prison, I had a vision of a sword being plunged towards me. I asked a few of the churches that I was linked with and individuals to pray for me. And one church prayed for a host of angels to surround the prison. Isn't that wonderful? The other miraculous thing that happened after that was that my vision changed. As I saw the sword before me, I realised that it wasn't being held by another. It was me that was holding the sword. And actually, the sword was going to protect me, not harm me. That was the bit from our reading, wasn't it? I have not come to bring peace, but the sword. So maybe I was holding that sword, just like it said in Scripture. The devil wanted me to be fearful in my place of work, you see. But God gave me the strength to go in there again and tell the devil that God was actually in charge. And look, I've got his sword as well. Even though in our gospel reading, Jesus imparts foreboding words of warning to the disciples, he also offers words of consolation so they could take courage. And the message he offers extends to all of us, even today, that even the sparrow that falls to the ground will not be apart from the Father. And you do not need to be afraid, as you are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus teaches this magnificent lesson on the priceless treasure that we have in Jesus Christ. If only to look, that's all we need to do, is to turn towards Christ. You see, Jesus is our priceless treasure, and we must never forget how highly God considers our worth as members of his kingdom. But when we take up the cross of Jesus, he is asking us for commitment. As you can see in all of this, the demands of discipleship are high, and so is the courage that is required for us to follow Christ. He who asks us to lose our lives for his sake also offers us the strength that we need to see this difficult life through. If we are to be disciples, we need to know that disciples can and possibly will suffer. But the Father, our Father, he understands and he cares. Amen. So now we are going to go into a time of prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we give thanks that every person is made in your image and known by you in love. We thank you for the rich diversity of your creation and for the gifts and the stories and the experiences that each of us brings to your church and to the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray especially for those who celebrate openly, for those who are still searching for acceptance, for those who have been hurt, rejected, or made to feel unwelcome. May they know the depth of your love and the strength of your presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, teach us to follow the example of Jesus, who welcomed those on the margins, who showed compassion to the excluded, and called us to love one another as he had loved us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus, grant us courage to stand against prejudice, wisdom to listen with humility, and grace to build communities marked by justice and kindness and peace. Lord, but let us know that when we need to hold that sword that you speak of in the gospel reading today, that we may feel safe, know that we are protected, and that you are with us as we step forward. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that you bless our communities here in the Tyndale Benefice, that you walk with those who need to find a place of welcome and belonging. We pray for those who do not know church, that they are able to be brave enough to step through the door of one of our churches in this community to be able to ask questions, to be honest and truthful about who they are. And for us, as members of this community, to be welcoming and encouraging to them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus, may your Spirit guide us in love, unite us in faith, and help us reflect your kingdom here on earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray now for our loved ones, for the people that we know who maybe are unwell or just struggling with their lives. And we have a moment of quietness while we bring them before God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now we think of those who have died and are no longer with us, but are with us in our hearts. We think particularly of Clive Wichard and his family. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And let us finish and close our prayers together, saying the words that Jesus gave to his disciples when they asked, "How do we pray?" Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So as we bring our service to a close, just to let you know that although I will be retiring at the end of July, I will be taking services in all of the churches in the month of July. And there is also opportunity for you to meet up with me if you would like to have a cup of coffee and a little bit of time. And even maybe if you would like me to pray with you, that would be very special. So do look out. There is some au revoir socials that have been posted on our sort of local media. But I'm going to tell you the dates now in case you want to come and join me. So in my office in Wootton, on Friday the 3rd, there is an opportunity to come and be with me between 4 and 6 p.m. on July the 3rd at Wootton. Alternatively, on the 9th of July, that's a Thursday, between 10 and 12, that is at my home at the bungalow in North Nibley. You will be welcome to come then. Or on Monday the 13th of July, between 10 and 12, again at the bungalow, Lower House Lane, North Nibley. Or on Thursday the 30th of July, between 7 and 9 p.m., and that's for drinks and nibbles at my office in Wootton. That will be my penultimate last day before I retire. So if you would like to come and join me, it would be quite nice to know, so I make sure that I've got enough cakes and whatever available. Do give me a call. My number is 07500 180 325. So I'm going to finish with a blessing. So the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you this day. Amen. So go well and enjoy the week and bring joy to others. Amen.